It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
The mainstream media's gaslighting machine, C-SPAN's fake neutrality, and the Wall Street Journal's establishment polished propaganda is in overdrive, framing the latest Epstein file drops and Clinton depositions as boring non-stories to make millions of awake Americans feel like the crazy ones.
So what did we learn about the relationship of the Clintons to Jeffrey Epstein?
Fairly limited information. She was adamant that she really had no relationship with Jeffrey Epstein at all. And I think her posture was just, why am I here?
I mean, I expected a lot of interesting questions today, but Pizzagate was not on my list.
Pizzagate. And this is where the body language gets fascinating. Pay close attention to what her right hand does before she even starts answering.
Pizzagate was totally made up. It was an outrageous allegation that ended up hurting a number of people, that caused a deranged young man to show up with his assault rifle and shoot up a local pizzeria.
Did you catch it? Her right hand goes straight to her chin, covering her neck. That is a classic pacifying gesture. She is protecting her most vulnerable area. And for someone about to debunk a conspiracy she calls totally bogus, that is a remarkably defensive posture. And she only drops the hand when she mentions the young man with the rifle, and that's the moment she felt she was on solid ground. Facts that she could point to.
Are you aware of any files that were on Anthony Weiner's laptop in a folder that was titled insurance, life insurance, with a zip file titled Frazzled?
Is this within the scope, Mr. Chairman?
If the chairman rules it, it's not within the scope.
Bill Clinton's name hits nearly 1,200 times in the DOJ release. Lolita Express flights, hot tub pics with redacted mystery women, Ghislaine Maxwell selfies, birthday notes. Bill was just being the Bill we all know.
You didn't have any feelings about young women massaging your husband.
I am not going to offer opinions or speculation about anything that I have no context for and was not there.
Of course, he plays the wistful old statesman in his narcissistic disorder testimony, reminiscing about cordial chats and Clinton Foundation trips while swearing he saw nothing wrong after ditching Epstein post-2008. Hillary clocks in at over 800 mentions, yet claims zero memory of ever meeting the guy, never flying on his plane or stepping on his island, pure stonewalling. As she deflects to Trump and dodges the 2015 Lutnick fundraiser email that invited Epstein despite supposed severed ties.
You asked me about
I have met
Howard
with
Lutnick.
Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You've denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did
but
not.
Howard Lutnick was
if
used
you have
to
an
get
email
money,
with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for
I don't
you
know about
for an event.
Not to mention Ghislaine being a plus one at her daughter's exclusive wedding.
When the wedding occurred, she was with Ted White, and she was for several more years. We did not know when Epstein was arrested that she was still involved with him. I think that clears a lot of this up. We didn't know.
We don't know what they have. We don't know if the videotapes that were in the storage lockers were ever recovered. We don't know when that hacking took place, what was removed from the FBI files and documents. So there's a lot that we don't know. But what we do know is that this man was capable of blackmail, of compromise, of Prince Andrew, of Bill Clinton, of Bill Gates, the Prime Minister of Norway. We're finding out now may have been a target of blackmail. So he had tentacles all over the world. He was working with other countries, Russia, China, Iran, Israel. Who knows what he told these individuals?
What everyday people actually saw was two serial liars, while the Epstein avalanche finally catches up with their tarnished legacy. But the American people now have the house surrounded, and the thieves are still refusing to come out with their hands up. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into American Journal. My name is Matt Tardio, filling in for Brianna today. You guys need to go follow me over on X if you're not doing it already, because I'm about to drop some information over there that you guys are going to want to know. All right, as a matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and hit the post button right now. You guys go head over to my X account at AngerTab, or you guys can probably see it up over here on American Journal. I just tagged them in it so you guys can get that as well. What we're going to be talking about today is going to be the Travis County District Attorney. That man has been up to no good for way too long, and it's time that we put this guy in check, and I want you guys to join me in doing so. And when I say we put him in check, I mean he needs put in check. This man is acting as a dictator over in Travis County. Every single law enforcement officer over there, I feel, just is in fear for their just doing their job. And all of this came to surface yesterday after a viral tweet that came out. And in that viral tweet, I was kind of shocked to read it. It was an attorney that goes by the name of Douglas O'Connell. And he posted that he is the representative for the three Austin police officers that got appointed by the Austin Police Association, and that the three hero officers who took down the terrorist over this last weekend, who attacked and killed multiple members of the community, wounded over a dozen, I believe, possibly faced a grand jury hearing for an indictment. As the process, he says, directed to the Travis County DA by the Wren Collective. We will be with them every step of the way. Rep Little, I'd be happy to visit with you about the grand jury reform. Now that within itself, when you read that, it's insane. That tweet's got 2.2 million views. It got so many views, as a matter of fact, it forced the Travis County DA to actually come out and make a statement on it. First people to actually come out, as far as news goes, that mentioned this was the Texas Tribune, from what I could find. And it blows my mind, and I'm sure it blows your mind. How is it that three hero police officers that end up taking down a terrorist that shoots up a bunch of innocent people are worried about going to a grand jury indictment? I mean, they must have done something really wrong, you would think, yeah? I would think that, wouldn't you? If a district attorney is going to end up putting them for a grand jury indictment, well, that would mean that he's got probable cause for charges, or at least he believes he does, and he's going to give it to a grand jury for them to make a decision. That's how things work in this country. But apparently not over inside of Travis County. Because what this attorney alleges, who we're going to have on in the show in the next hour, is that this district attorney has been going at it with Austin Police Department ever since he came into office in 2021. And boy, did I have a history when I started looking into this guy. And it should piss off every single one of you, because what happens is this crap goes on in one tiny corner of America. And it's not even fair to call Austin a tiny corner of America. Austin's a huge city. Travis County is massive for this to be going on there. Like, citizens of Travis County, do you even realize what you have going on? I'm not so sure that you do, to be perfectly honest. Blows my mind. I'm going to introduce you guys to the district attorney of Travis County. His name is Jose Garza. Now, this gentleman, since he's been in office since 2021, has been accused by a detective in Austin Police Department of witness tampering.
You guys remember the gentleman from the BLM riots down in Texas, Sergeant Daniel Perry? He was an Uber driver that night, and he was driving through the BLM riots, and somebody ended up jumping in front of his vehicle and pointing an AK at him. He shot the guy in self-defense. He still got put on trial because a man pointed an AK at him as he's sitting inside of his car trying to travel down a road. These freaking rioters want to get in front of him and point an AK at his face. He shoots the guy, and he ends up getting indicted. Then he ends up going on trial. He gets convicted. And then after all of that, Greg Abbott has to issue an acquittal for him. I'm sure you guys remember that. That's this district attorney. And the deeper I looked into it, the more pissed off I got. Because, again, that particular incident, when it goes down to witness tampering, well, that came from the detective. The detective saying that the district attorney's office actually, like coerced him into not showing all of the exculpatory evidence. It's maddening. Ugh. This guy. I want to point you to his tweet of the first day he had in office. It's January 13th, 2021. It's very clear that he moves into office and he's set into place and he's bringing along his leadership and his change. Now, this leadership and change and what he ran on was supposed to be for the citizens of Travis County, that they have more accountability when it comes to police officers. Is he going to make dang sure that they're held accountable for everything that they do? And out of his accountability, what he was able to secure was over 20 indictments. 20. And on his second day in office, he ends up tweeting out and making it perfectly clear who it is he's going after and why. Now, it's even worse about it when he comes out and he ends up announcing he's going to be going after these, you know, police-involved shootings or these officer-involved shootings. Is out of all of those indictments, he really doesn't get a conviction out of any of them. As a matter of fact, he was forced to drop 17 of the cases after securing indictments. Now, I think it's important for me to kind of lay out for you how this works when it goes down to a grand jury in Travis County. The district attorney should have probable cause when he brings it. He should go forward and he should present information to the grand jury based on good faith, to where you're sitting in front of, you know, citizens and you're presenting this information to citizens that says, these guys did this crime. We believe that they did this, and here is the information that goes along with it. Now, here's the part that you probably don't know, is that during a grand jury, the defense isn't, especially in Travis County, presenting any information whatsoever. And in Travis County, according to that detective, the district attorney makes dang sure exculpatory information is suppressed. Exculpatory evidence, things that are required by like case law to make sure that people actually see and have access to. Nope. We're going to suppress that over there just so we can secure indictments, because that's what he ran on. This is right after the BLM riots. This is right after all of that crap. And he comes into office and he says, I'm going to take care of it. He secures a ton of indictments, and where does he go? Pretty much nowhere. He gets absolutely nowhere. 30 days after he's in office, just 30 days after he's in office, he is so proud of his work. He announces on X over on the Travis County DA site that they have secured an indictment for Christopher Taylor for first degree murder and the death of Michael Ramos. Now, the case of Michael Ramos down inside of Austin, that was a big deal as he was running. And you guys are going to see the actual video evidence of that in the second half of this hour. And then going into the following hour, we're actually going to bring in Douglas O'Connell, the defense attorney for law enforcement down there. Those three officers. And he's also been involved in a lot of these other cases. So good on the district attorney, right? Just chasing down those law enforcement officers. Well, we'll take it a step further, because after he got done announcing that one in January, he ends up announcing the indictment of Daniel Perry. Now, that incident ended up taking place a year prior. He's so proud of himself. July 1, 2021. Today, our office announced that the Travis County Grand Jury has returned indictment against Daniel Perry for the charges of murder and aggravated assault and the death of Garrett Foster. Garrett Foster would be the BLM rioter walking around with an AK-47 that jumped in front of his vehicle, stood there in front of it, and pointed an AK at him, forcing Daniel Foster to defend himself. This what's up on your screen right here is an interview of Daniel Foster beforehand explaining why he's got to walk around with an AK. Because he's tired of people intimidating him, things of that nature, apparently. Claims that the police arrested his roommate and that everybody else is just a bunch of pansies, that they're not going to do crap because he's got an AK. What are they going to do to him? They're just all these Trumpsters and everybody. They're all just a bunch of freaking piles of garbage, apparently. The level that this district attorney has gone to push a anti-MAGA, and I'm not even MAGA. I voted for Donald Trump, but I trash on that guy every day over my podcast sometimes. You know, like, I don't agree with a lot of the different decisions that he's made. I like to think of myself as a constitutionalist. You know, like, I agree with the Constitution. I like the Constitution. I think the Constitution is good. It's not perfect. It could be better, maybe. But here's the problem. Every time we try to change it, we start infringing on people's rights. It screws everything up. Just like this, where you have a rogue district attorney that's just going after numerous police officers. That Christopher Taylor guy that I told you about? Yeah, he even got brought up on a different murder charge for another incident. And in that incident, he was responding to a man with a knife. And when the elevator doors opened up and he's faced with this man with a knife, and the man turns around and he starts immediately walking towards the elevator, Officer Taylor ends up shooting the guy, just like any other reasonable human being standing in that position or any other reasonable officer would have freaking done, because you get zero time to react. And by the way, he's trapped inside of an elevator. Knives are, you know, like, people look at knives and they go, you know, knives, they're not that bad. No, they are. Knives kill, and they kill fast. Knives are scary as hell. And that's what that officer was faced with. So the same officer that ended up getting indicted once ended up getting indicted twice. And the district attorney is super proud of it. By the way, guess how that turned out? You guys saw it up on your screen. This district attorney has had it out forever for these guys. And he starts leveraging these charges after he goes in. Now, after every officer involved shooting, at least prior to this guy coming in, you have a team of law enforcement officers, generally from neighboring counties, different police departments and things like that, that go together on this active duty or this officer involved shooting team, and they investigate the shooting, and they present the facts and the information to internal affairs and also to the district attorney, and they determine at the time whether or not there's actually going to be charges that need to be brought. But it would appear as if Jose Garza, after he got elected, decided that that wasn't good enough. And apparently the deal that he has running with this 501c3 called the Wren Collective of that's what I'm being told is prior, what do you call them? Appointed defense attorneys for the state. Apparently Jose Garza ended up making a deal with them when it goes down to the serious uses of force, which whatever that means over inside of Travis County, when it comes down to the serious uses of force, they're putting everything to a grand jury, everything. As Ben, the status quo since this man ends up getting elected into Travis County office as the district attorney. In Travis County, underneath Jose Garza, you are not innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. If you have a badge on your chest, you are guilty until proven innocent by a grand jury that is presented information in which Jose Garza deems relevant, including exculpatory information. It doesn't matter if there's a detective out there that's done an entire freaking background check into this entire thing, a whole investigation. Do me a favor, pull up 11, put that up on the screen for these guys at home. Would you please? I want you guys to see this affidavit of David Garrett. He is the detective in one of these cases. And in this affidavit against Daniel Perry, you remember the guy that shot the Uber, or the Uber driver that shot the freaking rider down there? He alleges a lot inside of here. It's disturbing He says, prior to the grand jury presentation of this case, I have several conversations with the district attorney's office regarding the presentation of exculpatory evidence related to Daniel Perry. It became clear to me that the district attorney's office did not want to present evidence to the grand jury that would be exculpatory to Daniel Perry or to show that witness statements obtained by the family of Garrett Foster and the attorneys were inconsistent with the prior interviews. Such witnesses gave the police and or the video of the incident in question. I had also wanted to present previous statements from the complainant in count two, where she never once suggested that Daniel Perry intentionally and knowingly threatened her with imminent bodily injury by driving a motor vehicle in her direction. The district attorney's office made me remove an animation from Daniel Perry's driving the night of the incident, coordinated with his cell phone records, that would have refuted the deadly conduct charge ultimately returned by the grand jury. Now, that's pretty bad, but just wait, because there's more to this. On more than one occasion, I was directed by the Travis County District Attorney's Office to remove exculpatory information that I had intended to present to the grand jury during my testimony. At that point, I specifically asked if there would be ramifications if I did not do so. I was told by the assistant district attorney that he would ask the elected DA, Jose Garza, what would happen if I refused to agree with the limitations I was ordered to comply with. I was later sent an email simply reaffirming the exculpatory subjects that I was forbidden from mentioning during my testimony. Of my original 158-slide PowerPoint presentation, the presentation was reduced to 56 slides with almost all of the exculpatory evidence ordered removed. I felt like I did not have any other option but to comply with their orders. In my mind, after this directive from the Jose Garza is when the conduct of the district attorney went from highly unethical behavior to criminal behavior. This is a detective at the Austin Police Department, a freaking detective, laying out for you in the sworn court-filed freaking affidavit that the district attorney's office went to criminal behavior. He goes on further. He says, I firmly believe that the district attorney's office, acting under the authority of Jose Garza, tampered with me as a witness. Often witness tampering is subtle. In this case, there were foreseeable consequences if I did not comply and tailor my grand jury presentation as directed, and failure to do so would adversely affect my working relationship with the DA's office for the foreseeable future. I was also afforded no choice but to comply with the directives that were issued to me by Jose Garza through his assistants. Now, for those of you guys that don't know, law enforcement officers, they're witnesses when it comes down to these criminal cases. They're witnesses. And what he is saying here is that the district attorney's office, using their own power, because the detective's got to work with the district attorney's office, they could push a lot of pressure down to the police chief and end up getting him fired, end up getting him removed from position, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I don't know anything about this detective, if he's got a family, but I'm assuming that he likes food and he likes having a roof over his head. And at a minimum, that's scary as hell. That in a case where the detective knows that the charging language underneath those charges hadn't been substantiated because of witness testimony on the ground due to his investigation, he gets told to suppress it so that this district attorney can get his grand jury indictment and tweet it out and remain in office. He's been reelected, by the way. If you didn't guess, that was 2021. It's 2026. He says, I am familiar with the crime of witness tampering as set out in the Texas Penal Code, and under the circumstances, believe myself to be a victim of such tampering. Further, in coordination with my direct chain of command, I sought legal advice from Chris Coppola, assistant city attorney. That's pretty insane. He ends up signing it. He ends up filing it. Ends up going in the case. Yet Daniel Perry still ends up becoming indicted. He ended up filling out that, by the way, just a couple weeks after his testimony. probably one of the most annoying things I think that we end up seeing is this next document right here. This is when the district attorney, Jose Garza, after he had to drop all of his indictments because they were trash charges and the courts likely wouldn't have accepted them, ended up writing a letter to the DOJ because he couldn't possibly secure it. You guys pull up number 9 for me, please. Because he couldn't possibly secure it. So he writes the Biden DOJ, you know, the ones that were running on BLM and everything else. He ends up pulling up and writing to the Biden Assistant General, Kristen Clark. It was him, Kirk Watson, the mayor, and Jesus Garza, the city manager. Listen to this crap. He had to drop the charges. He couldn't handle it on his own. So now he reaches out to the Biden DOJ to try to get it done. On behalf of the city of Austin and the Travis County District Attorney's Office, we write to request the Department of Justice conduct a pattern of practice and investigation in the Austin Police Department's policies, practices, and procedures related to the use of force for crowd control purposes during the protest in Austin from May 29th to May 31, 2020. The parties seek to review by the Department of Justice because following the 2020 murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis and the death of Michael Ramos, you guys are about to watch that video here in a minute, in the city of Austin, the city experienced high-scale demonstrations and protests during the protest of May 30th and 31st. Austin Police Department officers used less lethal beanbag rounds to control crowds and protect property. In doing so, the APD officers caused serious injuries. Now, interesting enough, in the very last paragraph, he ends up bringing this up. How many open indictments he currently has? He mentions that he still has 4. That there's civil lawsuits worth $18 million that are pending. 8 civil lawsuits as of today. Criminal cases are pending against 4 officers. Yeah, what he failed to mention in that is that days prior to sending that off to the DOJ was that he dropped the indictments on 17 of those officers. And by the way, out of all of the 20 something officers that he ended up going after, not a single one is sitting in jail, had really actually been convicted. At least it hadn't been overturned because of this garbage, which we're going to get into. In the United States of America, you are supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. In Travis County, underneath this rogue district attorney, Jose Garza, that's not the case. It's not the case at all. He is going ham on the Austin Police Department. That, ladies and gentlemen, makes perfect sense why the 3 officers that ended up retaining, being like, I don't know if there's a fraternal order of police. I don't even know who ended up retaining this attorney for him. I forget. But that's why they get assigned a freaking defense attorney in this case, even though it's a clear cut case of they need to shoot this guy and put his butt down. And they're in fear that they're going to go before a grand jury. And with the Austin Police Department detective stating that you don't even get exculpatory information that they know would lead to you not being charged. Nope, they want to just throw it all out. They need your voice, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up next, you guys are going to watch some of the body cam videos of some of these cases and just watch how ridiculous this is.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the 5-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalist. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexShowStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigley. The backup Alex Shows Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexShowStore.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexShowStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexShowStore.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, a term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals with everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to American Journal. My name is Matt Tardio, and I'm filling in for Brianna. She's going to be here very, very soon, and she is bringing in her guest, Tommy Robinson. So you guys be prepared for that interview coming up in the third hour today. Right now, even with everything going on in the world, I am so pissed off about this, I decided to bring you guys the Travis County District Attorney's Office and what a corrupt pile of trash he is as far as I'm concerned. And coming up here after this segment, we're going to have the Austin Police Department attorney that's actually assigned in order to protect the three officers that ended up putting down the Islamic jihadists from last weekend because they're afraid of an indictment. And right now, we're going to go over three justified shootings, which were later determined to be justified, in which charges were brought against officers over inside of Austin. If you guys don't believe me how ridiculous this is, I figured what better way than to just show you some of the evidence out there on how ridiculous this is. Why not just show you some of the body cam footage and talk you through the legalities of it? First case that we're going to end up going over is going to be that of the Mike Ramos shooting.
You guys are going to listen to the 911 call. Then you're going to end up seeing the officers arrive on scene. I'm going to play that full portion unedited. It's going to be about 4 minutes of that. So just bear with me. And then you're going to see another angle of the officer that fired the shots. And that officer is Christopher Taylor. That's the same officer that ended up getting indicted on two separate shootings by this district attorney. It's almost like he had it out for him. Let's go ahead and roll the first clip for them of the 911 call.
On at Oak Valley Apartments.
Yeah. I'm in the Rosemont Apartments. It's a gold and black Prius outside.
I'm sorry. The phone is real muffled. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
I can barely hear you.
Okay, I need you to start over. I couldn't understand anything you were saying. What's going on?
They're in the car smoking crack and cooking meth.
Okay, what color and type of vehicle is it?
It's a gold Prius. It's a gold Prius with a Hispanic man and a Hispanic woman. They got toilet paper in the front. Toilet paper in the front dash window. And I'm seeing him with a gun. He had a gun, too.
You said a gold and black Prius?
Yes, and he has a gun. He has a gun to this lady.
You see him holding one to her?
Yes, I see him holding a gun, ma'am.
Is he doing that right now?
Yes.
Just one moment. Is he pointing it at her?
He's holding it up.
He's holding it up, or is he pointing it at her?
He was pointing it at her, but he got, ma'am. I don't know what's going on, but I need y'all to come quick.
Yeah. So there you have it. That's the information that the officers end up getting dispatched to. Man with a gun pointing it at a woman smoking crack inside of the car. Seems pretty dangerous to show up if you're a law enforcement officer. Matter of fact, the officers thought it was so dangerous, they actually stopped and came up with a plan on how to go in there. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to show that clip, but it's enough that you know that the officers ended up coming up with a plan to block off the parking lot and then to actually conduct what's known as a felony stop on the vehicle or a high-risk stop, okay? Basically, that they're going to be calling the driver out of the vehicle and attempting to get the man with the gun out. That's a pretty serious situation if you're in law enforcement. That's the only information that you're getting showing up to the scene. Let's go ahead and roll the second clip for the ladies and gentlemen at home. This is going to show you guys the officers approaching the scene as they get in there, and it's going to play straight through. You're going to watch the entire incident as it went down. Less than four minutes. Let's roll that clip for him.
You're going to listen to everything we say. You need to listen. Keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. They harp on you.
Hey, come.
Hey, Hart, I got it. Michael Ramos, step out. Keep your hands up. Step out of the car. Michael Ramos, step out of the car with your hands up. Step out of the car with your hands up. Step out of the car. Walk out. Walk out. Walk out towards me. Come. Keep coming. Keep coming. Stop right there. Stop right there. I want you to lift up your shirt. Lift up your shirt from your shoulders. Turn around. Slowly turn around in a circle. Slowly turn around in a circle. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Stop. Stop. Walk towards me. Michael Ramos, you're going to get impacted if you don't listen. Walk towards me. Hey, move to the center. Move to the center. Michael Ramos. Michael Ramos. Michael Ramos. Hey, listen to me, man. Hey, relax. Relax, Michael. I need you to turn around for me. Michael, listen to me, man. Michael, listen to me, man. Just listen. I want you to turn around for me, man. Turn around for me, Michael.
I can't. I don't have an angle.
Turn around for me. I'll explain it in a second. I can't explain it right now, Michael, but you need to turn around.
Leave your hands up!
Michael!
Yes.
Now, I got to show that entire clip to you so that you guys have all of the information that you should have, unlike grand juries underneath the DA. There's another angle I'm going to show you guys. It's of Officer Christopher Taylor. This poor guy has been through the dang ringer with this district attorney. This clip is going to be from his perspective of what he saw in the last couple seconds prior to him shooting. And then you're going to see him approach the vehicle. You're going to get a little bit of a different perspective coming out of this one. Let's go ahead and roll that last clip for him of the shooting.
I'm on you.
On your left. Now you notice how his vehicle ended up impacting another vehicle after he got shot, after their shots got fired by Officer Taylor. I did. Remember how I told you that there was a potential hostage situation, that there was a firearm involved, etc.? And Michael Ramos might have been smoking crack. Now, it sounds to me like Michael Ramos was a freaking flyer. I didn't get the chance to read through everything, but I know when I was in law enforcement, if there was a guy whose name I knew first, last, and date of birth, we would describe them as a frequent flyer, i.e. they are problem children, the nasty 1% of society that you constantly have to deal with in order to, I don't know, keep the rest of society safe. You spend 99% of your time on 1% of the society. This is the way it goes in law enforcement. Now, there's another portion of this, which I got a feeling was not presented during an indictment. And that is the fact, the same thing as Renee Good. You guys remember the Renee Good shooting where the vehicle was being used as a weapon? The exact same defense was used in this case for Officer Taylor, because that vehicle was speeding towards one of the other officer positions that was involved in the incident. And just like in the Renee Good shooting, the vehicle is determined to be a deadly weapon. This has been affirmed by the Supreme Court time and time again, and yet he still got put on trial. He got presented to a grand jury, and that grand jury indicted him, and it sent him over to a trial. And then when it made it to trial, Officer Taylor ends up getting drugged through the mud to ultimately result in a hung jury. Recently, they have just now decided that they're not going to prosecute him any further. At least that's what I can find that's publicly available. Of course, let's not forget to mention that he was acquitted in a 2019 shooting that we have up on your screen right now. And you're about to witness that shooting that he had to get acquitted for because of this rogue DA. Let's go ahead and play the next clip of the shooting. For these folks at home, what this officer is responding to is a man with a knife. A man with a knife, and he's taking the elevator upstairs. And as soon as the elevator doors open, he's confronted with this man with a knife that's holding it to his face, staring in a mirror. And then he turns around and he starts walking towards the officers with that knife. Let's roll that clip.
opens, Da Silva is looking into the mirror with the knife at his throat. He starts to turn as the door opens, and then officers begin shouting commands. We'll pause it here to show you where the knife is right before Taylor started shooting.
That's it. That's the entire incident. And for that, the man got put in front of a grand jury, and then he ended up having a, you know, having to get freaking indicted after he ended up getting convicted. And I wouldn't be surprised, based on the other detectives' information here, whether or not some of the exculpatory information was not presented or was suppressed. Governor Abbott ended up pardoning the guy. It's getting ridiculous, the level of crap that this district attorney has gone to in order to chase after these officers. Now, that's just one officer that he went after. Remember how many indictments I told you? Over 20 indictments over the George Floyd situation, and none of it ended up coming through. None of it. The only one that really ended up coming through was the one for the prior Army Sergeant, Daniel Perry, that ended up getting acquitted by Abbott. Excuse me, I just said that officer, he ended up having being acquitted by the governor. No. He took his case after he was convicted to a court of appeals. This is the best part about this one. I'm sorry. He ended up taking that case to a court of appeals, and the court of appeals ended up discovering and finding that there was no reasonable grounds to charge him with in the first place. So he took him to trial. He took him to a grand jury, likely suppressed exculpatory evidence, put him in front of a jury that he convinced that this officer ended up, committing murder, and then ended up losing the appeal. And he was pissed about it, by the way, when he lost that appeal. It blows my mind that this DA is so brazen. The appeals court literally found that there was no reason to charge him in the first place, and so he got acquitted by the appeals court. So that means that this district attorney, who, by the way, again, every time before you go before a grand jury, you got to present some charges. You got to present something to the grand jury for charges, and then they get instructions as to what it is that they're looking for. Now, this isn't the only officer that they went after. They went after another one, and I'm going to show you here in just a minute. His name's Daniel Sanchez, for another officer-involved shooting. Now, information such as the man with a knife could have been on drugs. Information such as the man with the knife was not listening to lawful orders. Information such as the man with the knife was walking towards officers, and they got to go home at the end of the day. They are legally entitled to use self-defense just like you or me. As a matter of fact, they're held to a higher standard of it. They're judged based on something called the reasonable officer standard. Would a reasonable officer do the same thing? As a prior law enforcement officer, I can tell you, if there was a guy with a knife right there that's walking towards me, I absolutely would have shot the dude from that close away. You're going up an elevator, doors open, boom, guy with a knife. Walking directly towards you, could be high on meth, who the hell knows? Yeah, you're going to defend yourself. And unfortunately, the man died. Mental health is a very serious issue in this country. But instead of focusing on that stuff, down inside Travis County, the district attorney decides that he is going to focus on other things, such as screwing over law enforcement officers. Let's cover this next shooting for you guys. This is the Daniel Sanchez shooting at Austin. I want to play for you guys first the Ring camera video. It's pretty short. And the background on it is the reporting party had called in and said that this guy was walking around with a firearm all day long, thinking that, you know, people were after him or something like that. And then he was standing on his porch holding this firearm, yelling at nobody into nowhere. Ends up saying that the man fires a shot, I believe it was down the street, as officers are responding. And then the portion of the video that you're actually about to see is the officers showing up. But you're going to see it from the Ring camera, so you can see all the madness of this man. Let's go ahead and play that clip of the Ring camera video.
Oh, my God. You're fucking stupid. You're fucking stupid.
happens pretty quick, right? And that's from his perspective. Now, the officers, they're just driving by. You guys saw when they were driving by and you heard the shot going off. Those officers don't know if he's shooting at them or what. We don't know anything about that, right? But they were pissed because they said, oh, well, he kept shooting after the guy dropped his firearm. We're going to talk about that in a second. Now, I want to show you the officer's perspective as he ends up ruling it. The officer's perspective. Let's go ahead and play that clip of the body worn cam of Officer Sanchez.
Draw the gun.
Where is he?
David 309, shots taken, suspect down.
Suspect's down, hands are up.
Show us your hands, do it now!
You good?
Yeah, I'm good. 309,
hey, come to us, come to us. Yeah. Guns on the ground.
AR-15's on the ground.
Okay, you ready? Move up, move.
I'm on you. Have EMS stage, we're moving up.
You good, Daniel?
I'm good.
Okay.
Watch the door. Clear.
Now, here's something that the district attorney probably didn't like to tell a grand jury in this case. And that is that the officers are judged not about things that the officer ended up discovering after the fact, but what he knew at the time. In this case, what the officer knew at the time was there was a man with a gun firing randomly into city streets. The officer has a duty to protect the public. And when you have a madman firing an AR-15 in a populated area, that's a problem. Now, I'm sure people that are not familiar with firearms, when they see the Ring body cam or the Ring doorbell footage, and they go, but, you know, he also fired around into the house. He just shot around in the house. Right. Well, does that officer know that he's just not murdering somebody inside the house? Nope, he doesn't know that. And then let's talk about that particular firearm in general that he was armed with, that he was shooting. Those bullets go through multiple walls. That round was designed in order to penetrate. That's what it's designed to do. It's not designed to do all this crazy stuff you end up hearing, you know, in the news and TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, where the AR-15, it'll blow a hole in a man this big. No, it doesn't. It's like a freaking ice pick, man. That thing is just designed to freaking go through. Talk to guys like me that'll tell you that you can shoot dudes multiple times with that freaking round and that they'll just, they'll maybe fall over and then keep going, or maybe they'll just keep going in general. And that rifle's right next to his body. When I was in law enforcement, I saw a guy shoot drive-by shooting with a 22 long rifle. 22 long rifle. It's a rimfire cartridge. Like, what are the smallest cartridges really you can get? The only thing like smaller than that is like a 22 short, right? It's even weaker. It's just a lead nose projectile. I watched this projectile on average in these drive-by shootings of this freaking trailer park go through at least 3 to 4 walls on average before it came to a halt. And that's a 22 long rifle. You're talking about a rifle and a cartridge that was designed for the military to penetrate not just body armor, but barriers that people hide behind. So when that officer rolls up on the scene and you've got this guy shooting random rounds everywhere and he's holding a rifle and it's presented before him, how do you think he's going to react? And then they make the complaints that he ends up putting multiple other rounds into the guy. Well, guess what? Supreme Court's also affirmed numerous times it's made on a conscious act. It's not every single round that goes out. And this is all information that the district attorney is going to know. The conscious act of pulling the trigger by that officer. And again, indicted, thrown up, hung jury, everything gets thrown out. Over 20 officers indicted for the BLM crap. And you wonder why we are currently worried about the 3 officers that ended up putting down a freaking Islamic jihadist in Austin last weekend, and why their defense attorney has to come out. And they're worried, for the love of God, they are worried that this is going to go down, that they're going to end up going before a grand jury for an indictment. And it's all underneath this district attorney. Give you a quick recap over everything that we talked about. He's been accused by law enforcement of witness tampering. 17 indictments he dropped. And then weeks later, not even weeks later, days later, he ends up sending a letter to the Biden DOJ trying to get him to look into Austin PD. He couldn't even secure charges, and he wants the Biden DOJ to go in and get him. Daniel Perry. Huge case, nationwide case. Everybody was watching that like it was going out of style. Suppressed evidence. Daniel Perry gets convicted. I wonder why the officers are worried about it. I wonder why this attorney that we're about to have on in the next segment is so livid. We haven't talked about the 501c3 that he's working with yet. All of the high profile police murder charges, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, ended up going through or ended up getting acquitted, ended up getting dropped, whatever have you. From what I found and I researched, what it seemed to be is that only a couple tiny assault charges actually got put through, but they were put through on plea deals. And it's no wonder that officers decided to take plea deals because, well, you're in Travis County, where they elect a rogue district attorney like this. Now, if he can call on Biden's DOJ to conduct an unjustified investigation in the Austin Police Department, which he couldn't even secure convictions for, I think it's pretty fair for us as the American people to demand from the Trump DOJ to look into this district attorney, to look into this freaking detective's allegations of him suppressing evidence and freaking witness tampering. Witness tampering. On the record, witness tampering. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to have an amazing guest who is going to be filling in. He's been down there defending these officers for quite some time, and I really hope you guys are ready. I hope you guys are ready for this guy. And in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, before he ends up coming up, maybe you guys should just, I don't know, go over and take a look, because right now they are having the March Mega Sale, and it's live right now. You can go over there and you can get your Methylene Blue. You can get your Ultimate Burn. You can get your Life Force, your CMOS, your MK Ultra, 25% off all apparel, hats, t-shirts, and hoodies. 40% sale ends tonight at midnight. Ladies and gentlemen, head on over there to alexjonesstore.com and pick it up. Methylene Blue does great things for you, ladies and gentlemen. I take it. I think everybody should take it. Great energy, great mental clarity, great everything. I freaking love Methylene Blue. Go get yourself some high quality stuff.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.